Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio a couple of people from, these very important people, by the way, from the Matanuska Borough School District. I'd like to introduce Lucy Hope. Welcome, Lucy.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
And you have someone with you.
Yes. With me today is Megan McCarthy Grant, our Assistant Director of Federal Programs from the school district.
Good morning. Hi. Nice to be with you.
Well, welcome to both of you. Well, you are the first in a, and we hope a long series of people that will be coming in from the school district on a regular basis to talk about an aspect of the school district that's maybe not as familiar to listeners. Very often, people have some impression of an organization. The school district is a large organization, and there are a lot of stories, a lot of people that do all kinds of interesting work, provide services within the district. And our goal here is to get some of that out so that we have a better sense of what actually happens. So, Lucy, where do you want to begin?
Well, thank you. I'd like to begin by talking about some of our offerings for early childhood students. And when I talk about early childhood, I'm specifically talking about children who live in the borough who are ages 3 through 5, so not yet kindergarten age.
Ah, okay. Well, that's I think maybe that's one of the important points to be made. A school district doesn't sit there waiting necessarily for people to come through the door, but this is a very early aspect of the district's activities where you're reaching out. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. What we do to reach out to families who have very young children is called Child Find. Mm-hmm. And Child Find is a term that is used to explain that we offer free developmental screenings for any family of any child who's in that age group. And when I say developmental screenings, I'm talking specifically about if a parent has concerns about their child's development in the area of speech and language, or their development in physical skills, or their child's hearing, or their child's vision, or their child's social and emotional development. The parent can bring their child, we have a way to set up appointments, which I'm happy to tell you about, to come over and meet with do an individual screening with professionals in our school district who will meet with the parent and visit with the child.
Okay. What typically then is the outcome of those meetings? When, say, the child comes in, there's an assessment done, and what happens then after that?
The assessments are individual with a student and a child, I mean with a student and their parent. And at the end of the Child Find screening, we meet with the parent and let them know the results of the screening. And if everything looks good, we say your child is developing normally according to these screenings, and that family goes off and probably feels good about that.
Mm-hmm.
And if the team meets with the parent at the end of the screening and says, we think there is a concern in one of these areas, for instance, your child's language is not maybe developing according to what we would expect, we would then schedule for the parent to come back with their child and have a comprehensive evaluation. And when that occurs, there'd be a longer meeting, a sit-down with the parents, and the parents are present during those evaluations with the young child. So that would be the outcome of the screening.
And then after that assessment, the next step would be for the child to be involved in something different than just coming to school.
Yeah, it could result in that. And again, that's up to the parent. What we would do at the end of a comprehensive evaluation is take some time to write it down and then meet with the parent with that written report and talk about the results of that evaluation. And it may be that the results show that a child is in need of specialized instruction, let's just say in the area of speech or language.
Mm-hmm.
And then the team would sit down and decide, the parent would decide whether they wanted their child to enroll in the district for that specialized program, and an individualized education program would be developed with the parent.
Okay.
It may be that at that evaluation meeting that the parent is told that everything looks good. And so the end of that comprehensive evaluation would determine what happens next.
Okay, very good. So you brought someone mm-hmm. with another title. Tell us about your role in the district.
I'm Assistant Federal Programs Director inside our department, Federal Programs. We operate about 20 programs that are both funded federally and through state grants.
So when we say that, I've got a number of 20. How can a listener get a sense of the size of the impact of federal programs in the district?
Well, there's a couple of different ways. I can list all of the programs, but it's quite a long list. Mm-hmm. And go to the federal programs portion of the school website.
Okay.
And each one of those programs have their own web page, which provides kind of a explanation of what it is and what it does for people. But the we kind of operate the big six. And
okay.
So that might help.
Yeah, that would be good.
One is Title I. So all the Title I funding that comes to the school district and goes out to all of the designated Title I schools come into and out of our office.
Right.
We have Migrant, which serves in our community about 1,200 students of subsistence hunting and fishing. If you spend a certain amount of nights doing subsistence work mm-hmm. away from your home, the state can makes you eligible for migrant funding. And so those things go for tutoring and some extra help in the classroom and those sort of things.
Okay.
We also operate Indian Education Act money, which is another probably 1,600 students in our school district. We have over 3,000 individuals in our school district who identify as Alaska Native or American Indian. And this is a program underneath that serves the same kind of idea, tutoring, back-to-school supplies, academic help.
Okay.
We operate the McKinney-Vento Act, which is a support system for children who are experiencing homelessness. And that vacillates between 500 and 800 students a year. We also operate the EL program, which is English Learners. That's about the same number, anywhere from 500 to 800 students. And that's a direct intervention help for accommodating a language barrier in a classroom. And then, of course, preschool.
Ah, preschool. That one may be the biggest impact many listeners are looking to hear about.
Yes.
Say something about that.
I'm curious about that.
Right. Yeah.
So preschool is not a part of the K-12 funding formula.
Mm-hmm.
So the preschools that we operate in our district are federally or state funded. And some of those come through Lucy's office, and some of those come through federal programs. And so I get to work with Lucy a lot on those projects. And we have preschools kind of dotted throughout the school district. And if people are curious about this, we have a really important partnership with Head Start, CCS Early Learning
mm-hmm.
of Mat-Su.
Right.
And between them and us, we really strive to try to serve any student and any parent who's looking for preschool. But the best way for parents to get that information is to go to our website. There's an informational brochure there that talks about each individual site and what is specific about that site. And then in order to be enrolled, we ask parents to fill out a survey on that site, because you can't go directly to the school and enroll. You have to go through, the only way that you're actually enrolled is to go through this survey. So we really invite parents to get on the website, look through their options, and then fill out the survey where they can select first priority, second priority, and third priority between the district and CCS Early Learning.
Okay. So how many students are involved overall in the district in preschool?
About 498 if we use our numbers from last year.
And those preschools, you've mentioned sites, where geographically are they located?
You want us to name?
So
the special education preschool settings, which would be where a student would attend if they required the specialized instruction that we talked about earlier, are spread from Willow all the way to Butte
mm-hmm.
and almost every elementary school in between. We also host our Head Start program for Palmer at Sutton Elementary School, and so children can receive not only Head Start services there, but also special education services there. So almost every elementary school has a special education preschool.
Okay. So, Mike Molesky, I'm here with two people from the school district, and we've been talking about some interesting programs, many of which are federally funded. I know that a number is thrown about that there are about 19,000 students in the district. So your programs, just to give a sense of the impact here, I know you've nicely gone through a few of them. How many students out of the 19,000 are impacted by the programs under your umbrella, would you say?
If you think about a grade level, there's about 12 to 1,300 students per grade level in our district. So if we're impacting about 500 four-year-olds, you think that's about a little less than a third of the students who are at that age level in our district.
Okay.
That might be a way to think about it. On top of that, we also, through CCS Early Learning, have another probably 200 four-year-olds that are enrolled in our Head Start programs.
Okay. Okay. So that's quite a few.
We've really worked to target some of our federal funds as well as focus our special education funds on providing a service for families.
Okay. I know that there has been a considerable discussion about educational funding, both from the state and the national level. Lucy, I know you've been involved with this over the years. Where are we in, say, the thinking about the 10-year period we've just gone through and projecting somewhat into the future? Where are we with these programs in terms of continuing funding?
I can speak to the special education aspect of that.
Sure.
There's two sources of funding for special education, one being the federal government. The federal government has a mandate to us to serve students with disabilities, including children ages 3 through 5. And their funding for that purpose is very minimal. It does not even pay for the cost of one teacher in our district.
Okay.
So as far as the rest of the burden of the expenses, it comes to the state, and we do have flow-through money that comes from the state to pay for students in special education, but that also is left up to the local taxpayers to pay this.
Okay.
So it fluctuates, just like all funding fluctuates.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes it's a matter of looking at our funds and determining where we put our effort, and early intervention is really the best place to put it, because that's where you get the most success in helping children for later success in life.
So, same question in terms of the programs that you're involved with.
We have programs that have federal and state funding, but the vast majority comes from the federal title programs, which were a part of LBJ, President Johnson's War on Poverty.
Right.
So any program that starts with the word title and has a number after it is a part of that funding suite.
Okay.
So those things are do come down from the federal to the state level to the school district level.
Okay. All right. So I know that there are always questions about how you evaluate any program, whether it's a math program generalized over the district or any of the programs you have. And I'm guessing there's still some evaluations, even audits that are done about programs, and to say, okay, we're doing this. How do we keep on doing it the same way? Do we make some changes? What's the impact? Lucy, how does that work? And how do you feel about the evaluation of the programs and their impact?
We've seen consistently over the last years since we started screening our incoming kindergarten children that our students who have been to preschool do significantly better when they enter kindergarten. Last year, we actually conducted a longitudinal study. We followed students all the way through second grade.
Okay.
And so we saw a consistent gain all the way through second grade for students that had attended our preschool programs. That was really encouraging, because what we want to see when we invest money is that there's a long-term return on our investment. And we believe there is, based on the longitudinal study that we've completed. I think this year we will follow those same children into third grade
and will continue following our children who've been enrolled in our programs into the future.
And it's possible that listeners may not fully appreciate how difficult it is to follow people longitudinally in a way that gives accurate results. I applaud what you're doing. And it seems at first glance, maybe, oh, that's easy. We just somehow check them. But when we're talking about 19,000 students or a subset of that, it's complicated. It really is that. Okay. So looking on into the future, if you were knowing what you do about the programs and their effects at the present time, if you were to pick something that is not being done now that could be done that would have a dramatic effect, what would that be? First, Lucy.
I don't see the special education preschool program necessarily expanding. Mm-hmm. I think that we serve a set, unless our borough grows, which probably it will. I do think that there would be a great benefit if we could expand our general education preschool offerings, because that's an opportunity for all children to have these learning activities for them. We currently don't have enough slots in our general education preschool that Megan's been talking about to serve the needs nor interests of our families in the borough. So I would say if we were looking at some kind of a down-the-road in the future improvement, we would look towards improving the access for our families to have a general education preschool experience.
Okay. Megan?
I agree. The survey that I spoke of that enrolls you in our federal programs preschools, there are about 170 slots. By the end of the month of June, there were already 190 people on the survey. So we know from math that if everyone would be given a slot, there's still some people who wanted preschool who may not have been served. And the ultimate goal is everyone who wants preschool actually has that opportunity. And the only way to do that would be to expand the general ed preschool funding.
So I'm thinking geographically, listeners, many of them may be aware that this is a big school district, not only because of the number of students, but the way students are all over the place, from Trapper Creek, Glacier View, and so on, into what has been termed the core area. How evenly are all of these services provided? Do you have, are you still working on making sure that if you were in a more remote school, you still have access, et cetera? How about that, Megan?
Yeah, there's no doubt that the geographic piece is a part of our decision-making tree when we take a look at where sites can be. The federal and state preschool programs cannot be everywhere because the funding doesn't allow it. So core regional areas are really important, along with our relationship with Head Start in trying to determine where those services are most needed, both academically and geographically. Those are the two ways that we try to determine appropriate site placement.
Okay.
So we do have a federally funded preschool at Talkeetna Elementary, mm-hmm. and at Willow Elementary. And we also have our Head Start program located at Sutton Elementary. So we are looking at placement of our programs in more rural and remote areas of our district.
So I know that there are two things that affect all of the delivery of services, and one of them is transportation, and the other is the use of technology. And there's a lot of discussion about online learning, ways in which the internet can be used. Do you foresee increased use of distance-delivered services in these areas?
We actually did some distance delivery preschool services when we had a legislative grant 3 years ago from our state legislature. And there was some learning. I think that were we to have funds to do that again, we would take what we learned from that and do it a little bit differently.
Okay.
And what we would do differently is work more with parents to help them see not just put your child in front of a computer, but
how you interact with a child while a computer is present, and you use that as an activity for interaction as opposed to a child just using a computer on their own. But at this point in time, our special education preschools use computers and technology in the classroom with children, but not necessarily at home.
Okay. Okay. Megan, anything to add to that?
No, the preschool time is kind of dedicated to really interacting and having the students interact with each other and with the teacher. And so technology would be a tool as a part of that.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, we've covered a lot of ground, and one of the things that we mentioned earlier is that there would be ways for listeners to contact the district if there were any of these programs that seemed to be appropriate for their students. Lucy, what do we have? How do you do that?
We have, coming up on August 15th and 16th, opportunities for parents to bring their little guys in for developmental screening. Those are held at our central administration building, and I want to give a phone number and a person to contact if you are, as a parent, are interested in signing up for an appointment there. If you would call the number, 746-9222, and our Child Find expert, Karen, will answer the phone and will direct you through an interview process about what are your concerns and give you an appointment slot there. Then all you have to do that day is show up. And we'll take it from there as far as working with you to provide a screening for your child. We have another one similarly on September 11th. And throughout the school year, once a month, we have screenings available.
Okay. Okay. The number, again, is 746-9222. Right. Okay. And if there were, as a result of people listening today, questions about any and all of this stuff, how would someone go about contacting the district short of the Child Find approach?
If specific to preschool, I would say either of us, Lucy Hope or Megan McCarthy Grant, and our email addresses, lucy.hope@matsuk12.us, similarly for Megan McCarthy Grant, or contacting our public information officer at the school district. Would be another way to contact us about any school district questions that you might have.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate you coming in today and talking, and we look forward to hearing more from the district later on.
Thank you.
Okay. Take care now.